Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oh, my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open this word this morning, once again, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to do the teaching and the speaking this morning, Father, so that the words are not mine, they are yours. That all will know, Father, you are always present with us, always there to be teaching us and to giving us everything that we need in order to carry out your work, Father. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study this morning, and I'm asking this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, we'll share a little something with you this morning about this letter that we are in, this epistle. This epistle is only 25 verses long. That's all there is to it. Only one chapter, 25 verses. You know, Paul was a prisoner at the time of the writing, but also, this epistle actually is the story of three main characters, Onesimus, Philemon, and Paul. And as I told you yesterday, depending on how you would accent this name, it can be really pronounced two different ways. I call it Philemon, but it could also, if you accent it right, could go by Philemon. Now, but anyway, and Paul. It's mainly these three characters. and their interaction. Onesimus, a slave, came close and evidently robbed Philemon, his master, and run away. During the course of his flight, Onesimus encountered Paul in Rome and through his ministry came to faith in Christ. Subsequently, Onesimus became a helper to Paul, recognized Onesimus' duty to his master, so he sent him back to Philemon along with Tychicus, who carried Paul's letter to the Colossian church at the same time. And in the letter, Paul employs Philemon to receive Onesimus not as a slave, but as a brother, beloved. Paul himself, in a generous act of Christian love, assumed Onesimus' debt in full and put that on my account. Now, you see, whatever it was that Onesimus had taken from Philemon, Paul told him to put it on his account. Though very brief, the epistle is a valuable addition to the New Testament record for three reasons. One, it reveals more of the apostle's own character than most of his letters. Two, it gives important insight into the institution of slavery in the ancient Roman world. And three, it serves as a vivid picture of the truth of Galatians, that in Christ there is neither bond nor free. Now, we're going to be getting into this letter, this epistle now. And here, starting with verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Now, Paul, here, as he does in most of his letter, begins with being a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, it shows that Paul did not look on himself merely as a prisoner of the Roman Empire. His witness for Christ in prison made him a prisoner. His own dearly beloved and fellow laborer tells all we know about Philemon. He was dear to who considered him a valued co-worker in the ministry. He's valued by Paul. Now, two, and to our beloved Athera and Archippus, our fellow soldiers, and to the church in thy house. Three, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. You see, this Athera actually was probably Philemon's wife, Narcissus, his son, but was more likely the minister of the church and the church in thy house. You know, in the earliest churches, they met in homes. Christian church buildings were unknown until the 3rd century and Philemon was probably one of the wealthier church members, since it met at his house and since he was a slave owner. You see, this is letting us really know a lot about Paul and about these other people. Now, that third verse that I just read, the salutation almost identical to other Pauline greetings, expresses a beautiful connection between two great works of God. Grace are his undeserved favor, which is intimately associated with peace, the settled confidence that comes from being right with God. And, you know, there in 4, Paul always opens his letters with a word of thanksgiving, which is exactly what he did here. Now, verse 5. Hear of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Communications of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You see, everything that is in us that is good, we have because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Now, 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Paul's request that Philemon take back Onesimus, you know, has a brotherly persuasion rather than a formal appeal to apostolic authority. Onesimus is now both a son to Paul and a brother to Philemon, though he possessed no legal rights in the Roman world. Onesimus, the slave, was now on an equal spiritual plane with both his owner and the Apostle Paul, because he had met with Paul and ended up by becoming a child of Almighty God. Now, 9. Yet for love's sake, I'd rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He's now, you know, they let him know now that Paul, the aged, and now he was also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now, he was bound when Onesimus met him, and yet he was converted and changed over and become a child of God under Paul. 11. which in times past was to see, was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. He's letting Philemon know that Onesimus now is actually profitable to both of them because of what he has become, which is a child of the living God. Now, 12. We know that there was a time in Onesimus' life that he was actually useless to both Paul and Philemon. He even stole from Philemon and ran away. But now, you see, things have really changed. And now Paul is letting Philemon know that he will actually now live up to his name. So, here in 12, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is my own bowels. 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. 14. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. You know, Paul might have exploited his brotherly relationship with Philemon to request that Onesimus remain with him as a helper, but he could not take advantage of Philemon in this way. You see, Paul will not do anything that would seem to be contrary to the teaching of the gospel. So he's not going to do anything to hurt anyone else. Now, 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. 16. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul's appeal that Philemon received the runaway slave is well stated here in this verse. Onesimus has a new relationship to Philemon as a brother in the Lord. Whether Philemon subsequently freed Onesimus is not known, but certainly Paul's statements imply that slavery is incompatible with Christian teaching. In the Bible, slavery is usually viewed as an existing social and economical practice. Like divorce, it is tolerated, but consistent application of Christian theology leads to the abolishing or discouragement of both. Now, you see, a lot of things going on here in this little short letter. But it's letting us know a lot about these three characters, Paul and both Onesimus and Philemon. 17, thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Well, Paul's wanting Philemon to receive Onesimus just as if it was he himself. Now, 18. If he has wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on my account. Paul's willing to take himself, whatever it was, that Onesimus really took our own Philemon. 19. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. And we know that he done exactly as Onesimus. He was converted himself under the ministry of Paul. 21. Actually. Nay, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. 21. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. He says, I know you're going to do more than I say. Because, you see, they really knew each other. Because they were truly brothers in Christ. Not like most of our members today. Most of our members today are not near as close as they were in their day and time. And that's why we have fallen so far away in this land from the Lord our God, is because we have not really got the love of God that they had. Think about it. How many that will hear this message this morning would take on the debt of another? Not many. Or love another that has been transformed from evil to good as really a brother. And they meant these things. They were that close. Not anymore. But it's a place they better get back to. Now 22. But withal prepare me also a lodging. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Now, you know, prayer me also a lodging reflects both Philemon's financial status and Paul's confidence that he would be released from prison. It may also be a encouragement that Philemon should fulfill Paul's request. Now, 23. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. 24. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucius, and my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. That is the letter that was written to Philemon by Paul and the reasons for it. And it let you and I see just how close they were in that day and time. And it also let us know that most of the churches were held in homes. We were told that really church buildings didn't start coming about until the 3rd century. And yet, even though they were in the homes, they were close. And they worked all the time, constant. And we don't even want to do that anymore. We will use every excuse we can use to stay away from services and from the study of God's Word. But they didn't do that. And those places where the churches were, they were never really closed. And at times, if our preachers in our churches, if their preaching runs over 15 or 20 minutes, everybody in there is actually ready to leave. They're sitting there wishing, if they stay, they're sitting there wishing he would shut up. But they would teach way into the night and at times even all night. That's the difference. Now our churches, a big percentage of them, only hold one service a week, and that's on Sunday morning. A few will hold a couple during the week. And the rest of the time, they're closed and doing absolutely nothing. And neither are the members. The members are not out talking with others, trying to get them into the church. No. They're doing absolutely nothing. That's why our land is in the shape it's in, because our church is set back and let it happen. In my day and time, there was a day and time to where the church was not silent. The church was always there. And it was the pillar of the community where it was located. And when it got time for services, everybody in that community went to church. Now, they all may not have been believers, but they all went. And that's the way they would end up getting others saved and all. And everything that happened in the community happened at the church. Even their community government meetings were held at the church, and the pastor was the one that kept order to keep them from arguing and fighting. You say, Pastor, you can't know all that. Yes, I can. I'm old enough to know. I've lived it. I've seen it. I have watched the fall of our churches. I know what brought them down. I know when it started and how it started. And I know that it is a shame, and we are sitting here now, the most part, and still we are letting them bring all kinds of evil to the people of this land and even into our churches, and we are sitting back, for the most part, saying nothing. That's why I'm going to give you the truth of God's word, whether you like it or you don't. Because I don't answer to mankind, I answer to Almighty God. And I know that what we are doing today is a shame in a lot of places. Accepting homosexuality as being all right, it's just another lifestyle. It's an abomination unto Almighty God. It's in your Bible, read it. Adultery. We've got too many pastors in the podium today that's got two and three or more wives still living. And they're up there trying to tell you how to live. There's no way they can do it, because I'll tell you this, God is not working through them. Yes, they've got a certain amount of education because they went to seminary, and they'll use certain things and certain words, but when it comes down to it, there's no authority and no power with them. Now, at times it makes us wonder, why the Lord is still waiting to come and get the few that would be ready and bring everything to a close and let all of this evil go on its own way until it comes to an end when he comes back to this earth to set up his millennial kingdom. All right. We're going to stop here. We're going to be going in to Hebrews. Hebrews is one of my favorite books of the Bible. There is so much in it and so much really stuff that you and I need. We'll get into the introduction of Hebrews this evening at 6 p.m. and into the first chapter of Hebrews. This first chapter is 14 verses long. So actually, like I say, but I want to give you outline of this book, because it covers a lot of the things that you and I really need to see and most especially in our churches today. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for Israel, pray for them to have peace, and also that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And we pray for this land, Father, that those that are evil, that are sitting in our high places, Father, and find a way to remove them from office and to replace them with ones that belong to you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the church, loves your people, and love this country, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back on the foundation which it was founded, that being your word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we have a lot to do in this day and time. And I'm praying now, Father, for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for James Taylor, for Amy, Amy's husband Tom, her son Jacob, and Father, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for Sue Branson, Father, that has just lost her, that strand. Father, and her husband. Now, Father, my wife, praying for her. Now, Father, I need her with me. I need her healed and brought with me, Father. And I pray for all of those there in Brandenburg that's in that nursing home. I'm praying for healing for a lot of them, Lord, Father. It can be healed and healed quickly and go home. Now, Father, use us all. Use us all, Father, in great and mighty ways. Help us, Father, to bring others in to this ministry, into your word, and to walk close with the Lord Jesus Christ, and also in obedience unto your word. Now, Father, keep us through this day, all of us, in health, in safety, and bring us together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and back into your word. Father, this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, have a great day, everyone. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Be with us at 6 this evening. Bye-bye now.